Welcome to LifeBeat. I'm your host, Anna Visser, Director of Communications and Education at Right to Life of Michigan. Today, I'm here with Randy Royston. Randy has been the senior pastor at Charlotte New Hope Community Church for the past 26 years. He is also our development coordinator here at Right to Life of Michigan, so he is responsible for raising the financial support for Right to Life of Michigan. So thank you, Randy, for joining us today. We're very excited to have you.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to having this conversation.
All right, so we're just going to jump right into it. So, Randy, why are you pro-life and how did you become pro-life?
Well, gosh, and we'd have to start way, way back. I was a senior in high school in 1973, so that kind of tells you my age a little bit. But this issue was first and foremost here in Michigan because there was a vote that was taking place in November of 72, where Michigan voted once again overwhelmingly to make sure that abortion was not going to be taking place here in Michigan, and it passed 2-1. I didn't vote at that time because I wasn't quite 18 yet, and that was in November. And then in January of 73, of course, we have the infamous Roe versus Wade decision that came out. And being in high school, that was one of the class topics that we had to do a report on. And so I did a report way back then on the danger and the horrible atrocity of allowing abortion to take place in our nation. So started way back there in 1973, been involved with the pro-life movement in one way or another ever since, and continued to be involved over the years. I've lived in several different states being involved in the ministry, but wherever we went, we continued to share the pro-life message. And then back in 94, there was an opportunity. Right to Life of Michigan was looking for some help as a development coordinator. Wasn't even sure exactly what that was at that time, and approached Right to Life of Michigan and talked with Barb Listing and Jane Muldoon back then, and went through an interview process and got hired back in October of 1994. So I've been involved full-time with Right to Life of Michigan ever since.
So you said that when you were in high school, you kind of wrote a report and this is how you got started. Was this something that your parents instilled in you or from your church that you knew that you were pro-life?
That's a good question. You know, my parents really didn't talk much about this issue at all. We weren't going to church as a family. And I had just started going to church on my own. And the pastor that we had at that time was speaking about this issue. And he related what the Bible had to say about life and the sanctity of all human life and talked about the horrors of abortion. And so I heard it from the pulpit, and that's probably what laid the foundation for my pro-life, was hearing it from the pulpit of my pastor, who I just started attending church. I'd been going to church for maybe a year at that time.
That just goes to show how important it is that pastors are talking about this and preaching it to their congregation every week, or just, you know, reminding them periodically that this is an issue and it's really important to keep fighting for. So that kind of leads into my next question, is what is it like to work for Right to Life of Michigan and then to also be a pastor at your own church?
Well, the two, I believe it fits together very well. Working for Right to Life of Michigan has been probably one of the most rewarding things that I have done outside of the church. I have met some amazing people, giving, very selfless. Most of the folks that I work with are just ordinary, everyday people. As you mentioned in the intro, one of my main responsibilities is raising the financial support for Right to Life of Michigan. And you know, we're always thankful for the big major donors, but I, by far, the majority of the people that support Right to Life of Michigan are just common mom and pop people who give sacrificially, a lot of them. I'm just amazed at the level of giving that some people will do because this is so near and dear to their hearts. So working with the people, Right to Life of Michigan across the state are just phenomenal people. So that's probably one of the biggest things as far as working with Right to Life. It's rewarding when you see results, when you see hearts touched and hearts changed, when you see people become more committed to the pro-life cause. It's frustrating at times when it seems like we take, you know, three steps forward and then four steps backwards sometimes when different governors come into office and different decisions are made and, you know, a lot of work and effort that's went into things and then it seems to get shut down. That can get discouraging, but I tell you, we've got a good group of people statewide working at the state office and plus all the local affiliates that are very committed to this cause. It's a life and death issue. As far as being a pastor and doing this, there's never been any secret whatsoever of my commitment to the pro-life cause. My church knows this. I've been very vocal about it right from the beginning. They're very, very supportive. In fact, our church has hosted different events for Right to Life of Michigan. You know, we're just been working together hand in glove together for, gosh, over 25 years now, and it's worked out very well.
Well, that's good to hear. Is there anything specific for people listening out there that maybe are in the area that your church is at that they could get involved in with your parish?
Well, actually, our church is Charlotte New Hope Community Church, and we have a couple of the people in our church is actually on the board of the local affiliate. The local affiliate is Eaton County Right to Life, and so we're very involved, and so it'd be real easy to get connected. If you wanted to be involved in the pro-life movement, you could just call our church, contact our church by telephone, by website, and our secretary is actually on the board of Eaton County Right to Life, so it'd be real easy to connect if they wanted to.
All right, well, that is also great to hear. So you said that you have been doing, you know, development coordinator at Right to Life full-time since 1994, I think you said? And you're also a senior pastor. So how do you balance kind of those two things together?
My wife asks me that every week. She goes, how in the world do you keep, you know, both those balls in the air at the same time? Well, I tell you, it's not easy. It's a lot of prayer and just depending on the Lord for strength. There's a lot of early mornings and late nights. You know, oftentimes I'll get up very early in the morning to be able to spend the time I need to prepare things for our church and, you know, messages, sermons and teachings and so on. And I'll get up very early in the morning to do that. And then I'm involved, you know, with Right to Life throughout the day, making calls, doing visits. So it's a busy lifestyle for sure. I don't let a whole lot of grass grow under my feet, as they say.
Yeah, that sounds very busy, and just adding on everything else that's happening in your life and, you know, family and things like that, I'm sure that it gets crazy sometimes.
It does. It gets exciting at times. We're approaching our fall season right now where we do a lot of events, a lot of banquets, and so that gets really, really busy. And my wife just kind of realizes over the years that come about the 1st of September through the end of October, it's like, let me know when you're home.
I bet it's a lot of traveling.
Yeah, a lot of traveling. But, you know, it's pretty much condensed to the spring and the fall months as far as going to all these different events. Other than those two times of the year, most of the rest of that is just making personal calls, personal visits, telephone calls. We've been doing a lot more probably telephone calls than we used to do just because of the environment we're living in now with the pandemic and the virus and all that. A lot of folks are more comfortable with the phone calls. But what's good is that over the years, I've developed relationships with people. So I can call them and they know who I am. I'm not just a voice on the phone.
So what is some advice that maybe you would give to a pastor who hasn't really talked about this in their preaching, but would really like to start talking about it and just make it aware to their congregation?
You know, when I first came on board with Right to Life of Michigan, and of course I'd been a pastor before, you know, I came to Right to Life, I thought I was really going to zero in on trying to connect with pastors across the state and just encourage them to be vocal, to take a stand and let their people know about this issue. And I got to be honest with you, the first year got to be very, very discouraging. I met with probably hundreds of pastors over the course of the year, and so many of them, I would say the vast majority of them would claim to be pro-life, but also the vast majority of them said they were not really sane or preaching or teaching about this issue in their church. And I would inquire as to why, and they were so concerned that it would divide their church and it would offend some people and there'd be people that would be hurt because of this issue being talked about. And so I would encourage pastors to realize, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that if we talk about, we know somebody's going to be touched with it, whether it's stealing, lying, being unfaithful to your spouse. I mean, every sin that you can think of is mentioned, you know, pretty much mentioned in the Bible, and it's represented in our churches, including abortion. And for every abortion out there, there's a woman that is hurting. There's a man that was involved. And I think this is an issue that needs to be addressed from the pulpit, and we need to do it with love. We need to do it with respect. We need to do it with the message that there is forgiveness that's available. Because if we don't talk about it, you know, it's like my story at the beginning is the reason I believe I have the foundation I have today is because I heard my pastor speak very knowledgeable and forceful on this issue. And Right to Life of Michigan has all kinds of information available to pastors, to churches that for maybe the pastor who has been thinking about this, he's not really sure what to say or how to say it. We have all kinds of information that will give them a basis to start from of how to share. And I think we've even got samples, messages, sermons, teachings that can be used. And so I would encourage pastors to just prayerfully approach this and share it with their people. I tell you, if the more people that will take a stand for the pro-life movement, the quicker we will be able to stop abortion from happening here in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, and I think that it is just so important that it does start with the pastor within the church. Kind of as a community, you can all come together and say, okay, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to get involved in our affiliates that are in our area? And so I know that it can be hard for pastors out there who, you know, want to talk about it but feel discouraged because they don't want to create that divide. And I know that's a big issue. But I'm just wondering, is there certain ways that you have found that are the easiest way to incorporate it into your church? So you mentioned preaching. Is there other ways that you can incorporate it into your church that would be easy for a pastor who's kind of just starting out?
Well, I tell you, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues that you could approach. For example, most areas in our state has an affiliate that will put on an annual event. Usually it's a banquet, sometimes it's some other thing. But for example, I'll just use the banquet because that's coming up right now for a lot of affiliates in our state, is the church can sponsor a table, you know, send people to a Right to Life banquet where they're going to realize that there's a number of people in our community that are pro-life. Look at all these people, and they'll see friends and neighbors. They'll hear a pro-life speaker that will give them information, encouragement, maybe challenge them. So they'll have an opportunity to realize that this isn't an isolated topic, that there's people all over this community that are involved in the pro-life movement. And it's encouraging when you go to a pro-life event like this and you realize that, hey, there's five other churches, there's, you know, 10 other churches that are represented here tonight, and they sponsored a table, and I'm so glad that we did the same. So you can bring your people to an event like that and let somebody else do the preaching and the teaching if you want to start off that way. I think making available the resources that Right to Life has to your people. We have different events, you know, like during Mother's Day, Father's Day, and things like this, of different bulletin inserts and that sort of information, where, again, it could be kind of a low-key thing. You may not even be actually preaching or teaching about it if you're not at that comfort level yet, but you're at least making information available. You're making the Right to Life website available, which is very simple. It's just rtl.org. A host of information there. So I think sometimes maybe just making information available to people, if you're not at that comfort level where you want to actually, you know, preach and teach on it yourself.
Yes, and as you mentioned before, Right to Life of Michigan has so many materials that pastors can utilize. You can find them at our website at rtl.org. Just under the education materials, that whole little bar right there, you can find everything you need, from flyers or just different sermons that you can use. So if you are struggling with that, or if you want your parish to start talking about this, you can definitely find all the materials and education stuff right there. But I would like to ask, is there anything that your church does with youth, like a youth ministry where they could kind of start, you know, preaching to the youth about this, and then maybe it could expand into the parish?
For us locally, you know, to be honest with you, I provide information to our youth leaders, and they kind of run with it from there. So I'm not sure how much they have talked about it. I'm pretty sure it has been presented, because, again, I know one of the people that are involved with our youth group is also involved with the local affiliate. They're in the leadership team of the local affiliate. So I'm sure it's being presented. One of the things that is promoted in a lot of areas is the youth oratory contest, where they encourage teenagers to do, I think it's like a 5 to 7 minute speech on some topic to do with the pro-life movement. And there's actually a local contest where each affiliate will have a contest, and the winner from there goes to the state level, and the winner from the state level can actually go on to a national competition. And our church hosted that event. We just provided the building, but we hosted the event here this past year. And it was so encouraging to see young people from all over the state coming together. And some of these teenagers were amazing, the presentation that they did.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool event if you're able to go to it. We actually are trying to start the college competitions as well. So that will be super interesting. And for youth, we also have our Mean Match. And we have different scholarships that you can get for essays that you write about being pro-life. So there's lots of opportunities for the youth within a church. And the reason that I ask that is because I know a lot of churches kind of take a group of teenagers to the March for Life every year. And that is kind of a great way to, you know, get them started and see that there's this whole group of people. There are thousands of people that are fighting with you. And, you know, even just taking your church in general there is a great way to kind of evangelize it to them.
Oh, it is. It is. The March for Life. If no one, if you've never been to the National March for Life, I encourage you to do it at least once. It is just so amazing. And, you know, we're not talking hundreds. We're not talking just thousands. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, you know, 300,000 people or more will, you know, may be at that event. It's an amazing event. You know, and there's local things to get your youth involved with, too. There's Students for Life. There's some high school campuses and college campuses across the state that have Youth for Life. You know, if the kids want to get involved in that, they can, you know, look that up and be involved in a pro-life movement on their high school campus, college campus. So that's another avenue to go.
Well, Randy, is there anything else, any other advice or just anything that you want to put out there for members of churches or pastors or just people in the pro-life movement in general?
Well, let me talk to the people and not the pastors for a moment. If you attend a church and you haven't heard your pastor say anything about the pro-life movement, I would first of all pray about it, and then, you know, be respectful, but approach your pastor, your priest, and just ask them, you know, where they stand on the pro-life issue. And, you know, if they give a positive remark that they're pro-life, just thank them for that and encourage them. So, you know, maybe it was something that we could hear about in our church. You know, maybe it's something that on Sanctity of Life Sunday, you know, you could, you know, preach a message on that. That would be so good for all of our people to know where you stand, you know, and just encourage them to do that. If your pastor, your priest kind of waffles on it and doesn't really give a positive answer, I would pray for them and just encourage them, maybe have some information available and just drop it off and say, well, I happen to have this information here and I'd like to just drop it off and maybe you'll find it interesting. So I would encourage the people in the churches to encourage your pastor. Sometimes, you know, pastors need encouagement. They want to reach their people with the gospel. That's the number one thing. We also have to, you know, have to share sometimes topics that aren't easy to share, you know, whether it's, you know, some sin that, you know, is listed in the Bible or an attitude or, you know, gossip or backbiting or whatever, you know, nobody likes to deal with those things. And sometimes it's easier to shy away. And so I think if people can encourage their pastor to you know, be pro-life, let them know you're behind them. And if there's a local affiliate, most affiliates are looking for what they call church reps, somebody that will represent your church and be involved in the Right to Life affiliate that's local there. I tell you, some of my most successful affiliates in the state that I work with, one time they said, hey, could you come to a church rep meeting? We'd like you to just speak briefly, you know, 10 minutes or so to all the people that are here for our church reps. And I said, okay. And I was thinking there was going to be, you know, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 people there. And they had over 50 people there, over 50 churches from around that community were represented there as church reps. I tell you, when you get that kind of representation going on in a community, you can have quite an impact. And so I encourage people on the local level, you know, encourage your pastor, get involved, represent your church in the local affiliate, and be in prayer. You know, just real quickly here, we've got a real opportunity before us right now. The United States Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case this fall. They'll be starting here in just a couple of months. And that case could be a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. And in about 10 months, a decision will be made. And there's an opportunity that Roe versus Wade could be reversed. And it will make it possible that every state has to make their own decision what they're going to do regarding abortion. And thankfully, Michigan has laws on its books already that abortion is not legal in Michigan. I would encourage you to be in prayer, pray for the Supreme Court justices, pray that they will do the right thing and finally reverse Roe versus Wade in this decision that they're looking at regarding a Mississippi law. So prayer is going to be key for sure. Prayer and involvement. The faith without works is dead, the Bible says.
Yes, most certainly. We're very hopeful and excited to see what the Supreme Court rules for this case, and just hopeful that they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And if you are a pastor or you want your parish to start getting involved in this and you haven't really heard about this case and want to know more about what's happening in the pro-life movement, we actually have a Faith and Life email that goes out to different parishes every month. And so if you're a pastor and you would like to be a part of that or a member, you can just email Right to Life of Michigan to sign up to receive those emails. We do updates about that, about the case, which is Dobbs versus Jackson. We do updates about what's happening within, you know, within faith and the pro-life movement. So if you're interested in learning more about what we're talking about today, just email us at Right to Life of Michigan and you can definitely continue learning about it.
Anna, you might want to, if you want them to email you, you give them the exact email address or the website, however is the best way to contact you.
It is info@rtl.org is the email that you would email. But thank you, Randy, for being here today. I'm very grateful that you were able to do this, and just thank you for sharing your experiences with us. We're very happy that you could be here.
Well, I'm honored to be able to serve and to be involved in this. I consider this a mission. It's a calling. It's definitely a spiritual battle. And I appreciate it, Anna. I appreciate your work there with Right to Life of Michigan. And just pray for God's grace and mercy as we continue marching on here.
Thank you. I will continue to do that. Thank you for listening to Life Beat, and come back next week for just a regular podcast episode. I hope you have a great weekend.